our kids to their classes and as they continue to study from the book of Psalms, many of those written by our favorite King David. Glad that you kids are here. Also want to remind everyone at this time we have a couple of elders and their wives in the hallway to my left. If you're in need of prayer, then you can dismiss yourself to speak to them, and they can pray over you. We're wrapping up David's series this season of the Crown. As I mentioned last week, after this week, we're going to give our attention to some parishioners' picks. And so if you have a scripture that you would like me to preach from, maybe it's one that is special to you, maybe it's one that you have trouble understanding, or maybe it's one that you think, hey, Todd hasn't preached on this in a while, he needs to preach on this, then let me know. I've got a few submissions, but I'd like some more. Please, sock it to me, as I said on Laughing many, many years ago, and submit to me your scriptures that you want me to preach from. You can do that on the app, on the form there, on the website. Give me a call, email, contact me somehow, and I'd love to do that. I look forward to parishioners' picks. As I said, we're going to wrap up our series on David this morning. And I've got something different for you today. So I want you to help me out. I want you to imagine. I want you to imagine that we are in the year about 1000 BC. So I want you to go back in your minds about 3000 years ago. I want you to imagine that you are in the city of David, Jerusalem. And I want you to imagine that we are at the funeral of King David. We're gathered together today to remember and celebrate the life of our great king, David. For those of you who don't know me, I am Nathan the prophet. I was honored to spend many years with the king. I saw him both as victorious king and penitent sinner. More on that a little later. As we know, David was not born of royalty, but born to a shepherd. He was born in the little town of Bethlehem, not far from here. This tiny hamlet will forever be known as the hometown of Israel's great king. And it is doubtful anyone else of such notoriety will ever be born in such an insignificant town. But who knows? His early years were spent in the shepherd's field with his brothers. He was one of eight sons born to Jesse. David always loved to tell me the story of the day the prophet Samuel came to their house to anoint the successor to our first king Saul. Jesse sent David out to take care of the sheep while his older and more qualified brothers paraded before the prophet, hoping to become the chosen one. David remembered so vividly that Samuel had been there a good while, and then Jesse came to the door calling for David. He thought it was to let him know who had been chosen. But to his surprise, Samuel was asking for him. Not soon after that, the prophet was pouring the oil of anointing over David's head. He couldn't sleep that night, wondering what the future would hold. We know David was a gifted musician. He served in Saul's court, first as a musician, as his harp would calm the troubled soul of the king. He was also Saul's armor bearer. It was during this time in his life when he was sent by his father to check on his brothers in one of the many conflicts we've had with the Philistines. And that was the scene of one of his greatest victories in the Valley of Elah. Who can ever forget? He took down the blasphemous Goliath with one stone from his slingshot. And David was often asked why he took five stones into the battle. His reply was always, "I heard Goliath had four brothers." He was quite the sharpshooter with that slingshot. Legend has it that as a shepherd, he took out lions and bears with it to protect his sheep. David loved sheep. He was always talking about sheep. I think his best days were out there in the fields as a young man. I even think that he thought of himself as a shepherd to us, the nation. He even thought of God being our shepherd. While I'm speaking about David as a shepherd, I want to make an announcement to all of you today. David was a proficient author of poems. He was always writing. I often wondered what he was doing. I asked him one day what he was doing, and he said, "I'm writing down my feelings about life and about God, my feelings about good times and bad times." He went on to say to me, "You know, Nathan, there are just times when I feel God speaking through me, and I feel compelled to write." And write he did. Little did I know, he was saving all of these. So weeks before his death, he called me into his chambers, and he had this stack of parchments in his hand. And he told me these were all of his poems. He called them Psalms. He said he wanted to pass these on to the nation, to all of you. They're poems about God's beauty and goodness. Psalms praising God. I've read them all. One of my favorites starts like this. "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs." But there are also psalms about hard times that we all go through, times when we feel all alone. Another one of his poems starts like this. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish?" There are also psalms that he wrote specifically for all of you, songs that you can sing with your family as you come to Jerusalem to celebrate the wonderful feast we all have that call us to remember what God has done for our people. One starts like this. "I rejoice with those who said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" Sounds just like David, doesn't it? So my announcement today is that all of his psalms have been collected, and the royal family has hired scribes to meticulously copy these psalms and have copies distributed to every tribe of our nation. And we encourage all of you to regularly read these poems, as it is our desire that you can know God like David knew him. David asked me to read a couple of those in their entirety today. One of them is a reflection on his shepherd days and how he saw God as his shepherd. You know, I think this one will become one of his most beloved poems. So for the first time in public, hear the words of David, the shepherd who became king. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So, people of Israel, today we celebrate that David has been led safely home. The God who walked with him through victories and defeats has welcomed him home. There's so much more we could say about him. How he drove away our enemies time and time again. How he expanded the borders of our nation. How his fame spread throughout the world. His capture of our beloved capital city, Jerusalem. His bringing the Ark of the Covenant into the city. You know, he always regretted the fiasco of that first attempt. He told me often that he should have consulted the writing of Moses for instructions on how to transport the ark. Again, our sincere condolences to Uzzah's widow, who is with us today. he never thought the road was going to be that uneven. If it's any consolation, those oxen made for some great steaks. We ate those for weeks at the palace. But he did learn from his mistakes. And we all remember that joyous day when the priests carried the ark into Jerusalem the right way. David was so excited. He danced like no one was watching. Of course, Michael, you were watching, and I know you weren't so thrilled with that display. And she's with us today, and I think she's gotten over it. I think I see a little smile on her face. You know, David loved this city. He loved the city so much. And you know, he had great dreams for Jerusalem. He came to me one day and he said, "Nathan, I want to build a temple to Yahweh. And not just any old temple, I want to make a great temple to our great God." And at first I was all on board, but that night God told me that the project had to be put on hold. And that David's son, Solomon, would take care of that. Of course, Solomon is with us today as well. And oh, Solomon, I know you are so ready to start construction. David has left you all the plans and all the funds have been raised. And I know before long we will have a beautiful temple here in Jerusalem. And for generations to come, all of our people will joyfully make their pilgrimage here to worship the only God, Yahweh. Solomon, our next king, we pray for your success and for wisdom to continue to lead us as your father did. And let me remind all of you, and especially you, Solomon, of some of his last words, words that your father shared with you as he gave you charge to be the new king. He said to you, "I'm about to go the way of all the earth. So be strong, act like a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees and his commands, his laws and regulations as written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. If your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel." Well, let's just pause a moment and recall some of the highlights of this great life through some pictures and songs. Someone else requested to share some words with you today, but because of his disability, he's not able to take the podium, but he did write these words to remind us all of the gracious heart of our fallen king. "My name is Mephibosheth. I am the grandson of King Saul and the son of Jonathan. Growing up, I was told grand stories about how one day I would be king. As a young boy, I would remember trembling with excitement at the thought that one day I would wear the crown. Then my world fell apart. There was great confusion, And I vaguely remember hearing the terrible news that both my grandfather and father were killed in battle. And with their deaths, it was certain that there would be a different king, a man named David. My young 5-year-old mind tried to process what that meant for my future, but those thoughts quickly escaped my mind. As my caretaker swooped me up in her arms and in a fury was carrying me away to where I didn't know. But soon after all that commotion, we took a vicious tumble, and all I can recall is the searing pain starting in my back and radiating down both legs. I tried to get on my feet, but my legs just didn't work. I screamed, and then I cried, and then I don't remember anything for a while as I mercifully fell into a state of unconsciousness. When I came to, my caretaker delicately explained to me the tragedy. It was true. Both my father and grandfather had died in battle, and we had to escape because certainly whoever killed them would be after me. Not only did we have to escape, but we had to hide from the new king who likewise would certainly want me dead. Growing up, I heard stories about how the throne had been stolen from our family. David's name was not to be spoken of in our house. It was because of him that I was crippled. It was because of him that my dreams of being king had vanished into this nightmare of being an invalid in hiding. I thought of myself as no better than a dead dog. And then one day, out of the blue, messengers from David came to our home. I was an adult now, but all the fears, insecurities, and pain from that day long ago rushed back into my soul. I had been found, and my days were certainly numbered. I had no choice but to go with David's men, and my heart was racing in terror. When I saw him, however, he didn't look like the man I had been told about. I don't know what it was, but there was something about him that calmed me. I was told that he originally weaseled his way into our family with his ability to calm my grandfather when he was troubled. Knowing that, I was still cautious. But then he said, "Don't be afraid." How did he know that I was afraid? How did he know that I had always been afraid? He then told me about his love for my father, Jonathan. It was hard to hear and harder to believe, but others who were there were assuring me that David really did love my father. David told me how grief-stricken he was when he heard the news of the deaths of both my father and grandfather. Somehow I started to believe him. Somehow I started to believe that David was not the villain I and others had made him out to be. This man was different. And then he told me of a promise he had made to my dad. David had promised him that if anything happened to him, he would look out after his family, our family. For years, he had been wondering if there were any relatives left, and just now he had summoned all of his resources to search the land for one, for anyone. And then he said how excited he was to meet me and how anxious he was to fulfill the promise he had made. He looked me in the eyes like no one else had ever looked me in the eyes. And before he revealed the promise with tears rolling down his face, he said to me, "You have your father's eyes." And then he said, "Welcome to the family." He said, "You will always have a place here at the palace, and like my own son, you will always have a seat at our table." This dead dog had become part of the royal family. I know David did a lot of amazing things in his life, but I'm convinced that I am the most amazing. His dedication to a promise he didn't have to keep and his love for undeserving me are the greatest evidence that he was indeed a man after God's own heart. And today I tell all of you that if a mere man can love like that, imagine how much our God loves you. Faithfully yours, Mephibosheth. Well, thank you, Mephibosheth, for sharing your story. One last thing. David told me, made me promise. Made me promise that in this eulogy, I would not make it sound like he was perfect. He wanted me to acknowledge his faults, and we know those faults. There's no need to rehash his failures at this occasion. Maybe sometime, somewhere else, but not now. But he wanted you all to know how devastated his life was because of his sins. And he took responsibility for all of it. And there's one thing you can be sure of. He never blamed anyone else for his failure. But I will tell you that as sinful and imperfect as he was, your king was even more penitent. As you know, I was called by God to confront him with his sin, the sin that he so skillfully tried to cover up. It was the most difficult assignment God had ever given me. It was also the most important assignment God had ever given me. Isn't it true that often the things that are the most difficult are the most important? But I will never forget his reaction. How his face, his body, his soul reacted when I said those words, "You are the man." Some of you may find it hard to forgive David, and believe me, he had some times when he could not forgive himself. But David knew God so well. He never doubted that God forgave him. So again, when we were talking one day near the end of his life, he pulled out another one of those psalms that he'd written. He told me he had written this shortly after I had confronted him. And he said to me, "Nathan, when I die, I want you to read this. Promise me you will." And I promised. So hear these words from your king. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God my Savior. And my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. then bulls will be offered on your altar. Let's close with a prayer. Would you pray with me? God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we give you thanks for the life of this great man. Thank you for calling him from the shepherd's fields to shepherd this nation. Thank you for working through him. Thank you for his example of faithfulness, praise, and penitence. We pray your blessing upon his family through whom you have promised to provide for us a king to lead us ever closer to you. And we look forward to the day when you will reign not only over Israel, but over people of every nation and every tongue. May we honor you as your chosen people. And may the world know that there is no God but Yahweh. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen. Welcome back to 2024. What an incredible story, isn't it? The life of David. But there's even a more incredible one. There did come a time when a son of David was born in that same town, Bethlehem. And he was not acknowledged as a king by most, but no doubt he was king. He was and he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this son of David, Jesus, lived a sinless life. He died for you on the cross, and he offers you what no one else can. He offers you eternal life. So if he's not the king of your life, make him that now. If you have questions about our King Jesus, then please track one of us down, and we'll be glad to tell you the story of the man who now and forever wears the crown. Let's stand together and sing.
You, O Lord, are my refuge. You are holy and just. You are faithful and righteous. You, O Lord, are my refuge.